Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gai Gaur-madhusare. Yeah, keep going. Lord Gaurachandra, Gaura, sings in a very sweet voice. He chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When Mahaprabhu was chanting, sometimes tears would not flow from his eyes, but they would shoot from his eyes, and they would wash everyone who was around him. This is the highest level of chanting, obviously. Grihe tako vane tako Sada Hari Bolo Dako Netako Vane Tako Sada Hari Bole Dako Suke Duke Bolo Nako Vadane Harinam Korore Sukhe dukhe bolo nako Vadane harinam korore Gai Gaura Madhu Sare. Whether you're a householder, Grihe Tako, whether you're coming from the householder life, or Vane Tako. What does Vane Tako mean? It means if you are living in Vrindavan, it must mean that. What else could it mean? Wherever you are, just call out the holy names of Lord Hari. Sukhi dukhe bolo nako, whether you are happy or sad, vadane hari nam korare. Just fill your lips always with the chanting of Krishna's names. Maya jale baddho hoye acho michi khajoloye ekona chaitana peye radha madhav nam bolore. You are bound up. We are bound up in a great network of maya, illusion. What does this mean? We don't see things accurately. Actually, we have a relationship with Krishna. We have a relationship with Krishna. It is unavoidable. We may want to break our relationship with Krishna. Practically, there's only one way you can do that, and that is to merge into this Brahma Sayuj, into non-individuality. But we have a relationship with Krishna. But in illusion, in Maya, bound in the network of so many desires, we have forgotten that. Now, in the human form of life, now is the time, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, now is the time, now is the time to awaken that relationship. Why should we take advantage of the moment? Because Jivana Hoilo Shesh, our life, shesh, it may end at any moment. and Nabajila Rishikesh. It may end without our having worshipped the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna. So therefore, Bhaktivinod Upadeshi gives this instruction. Ekbar. What does Ekbar mean? Just one time. Namarasa Matare. Just relish the sweetness of Krishna's holy names. So this principle of chanting Krishna's holy names is the essential principle of Mahaprabhu's movement, of Srila Prabhupada's movement. This is the essential principle. Just chant Krishna's names. Prabhupada even said, when he was first introducing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to all the young people in the 60s, he said, anyone can participate. Anyone, a child, even a dog. Everyone can chant, and this is the first principle. If we want to advance, here is the prime principle. Just chant Hare Krishna, whether you're feeling happy, whether you're feeling sad, whether you're living in a city in the forest, it doesn't make any difference. Just chant Krishna's names. I had an experience of this, of Prabhupada's happiness with this, His kindness on me when I first began chanting, when I was going to the university. It was so cold. It was in Buffalo, New York. It was so cold there, and sometimes in the winter the snow would be this high. No, it was actually that high, but it was so high. And I would chant to keep warm. And Rupanuga Prabhu, who had introduced me to the serious chanting of Krishna's names at that time, he wrote Prabhupada and said, one of the young boys, students, is chanting to keep warm. And Prabhupada said, very good. But we should know that chanting to keep our body warm is not the ultimate level of chanting Krishna's names. There are much higher levels of chanting Krishna's names. And the highest level, as introduced by Mahaprabhu by his own example, is when the chanting of Krishna's names is a complete call for Krishna. The soul, feeling separate from Krishna, is calling for Krishna with its complete existence. And in that type of calling, that prema kirtan, that chanting in great separation and love, this is the chanting that the residents of Vrindavan continuously do when Krishna is not present. They're chanting Govinda Damodara Madhavriti. Oh Govinda, oh Damodara, how could you be separate from us? They actually think that when Krishna is separate from them, it is not some fault on Krishna's part, but rather it is due to their own lack of love. Because it is known that Krishna goes, he cannot resist. He cannot resist the love of his devotees. He lives with his devotees who love him. There is when Uddhava visits Vrindavan and he begins to preach to Nanda Maharaj, he sees that Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they have only 1 or 2 days to live. Because they are separate from Krishna and they cannot tolerate it in a moment longer. So what does he want to do? He preaches to them that Krishna is not actually your son. He doesn't only belong to you, but Krishna is the super soul. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. He is within everyone's heart. This is your Krishna and you're thinking of him as your son. because Uddhava sees they're not going to live much longer, and rather than just wanting to give them knowledge, transcendental knowledge, he wants to lessen, making their prema less. So he gives them, he tries to fill their consciousness with his knowledge of Krishna's position as the Paramatma. But Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya, no matter what they hear, what knowledge they have, no matter what happens, their love for Krishna does not lessen even the slightest bit. This is the specific relationship that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. It creates different waves on the ocean of their bhakti rasa, but it never increases, it never lessens. So Nanda Maharaj began to think, this Uddhava, he is very nice. Did you explain this whole part? Oh, I'm so lucky anyway. He said, this Uddhava, he's a nice boy, but he's a little inexperienced. Because the residents of Mathura said, you know that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he's not actually the son of Nanda Maharaj, but actually he's the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Do you know that? And Uddhava, being a little simple-hearted, he believes them. And Krishna, always wanting to please his relatives, please everyone, when they say to him, oh, here is your uncle, here is your auntie, here is this one, here is that one in Mathura, and they say to him, please come to our house for lunch, Krishna, being very simple and pure-hearted, he wants to go with them. And Krishna, hearing that he's the super soul, he even starts maybe thinking, yes, I'm the super soul. No one is my mother, and no one is my father. And Nanda Maharaj thinks of writing a letter to Krishna. And he thinks his mood is that Krishna has to come back. How can we go on without Krishna? This is incredible separation. And in this separation, in this feelings of separation for Krishna, not being able to live a moment without Krishna, thinking my life has no purpose without fully, not only full love for Krishna, but without Krishna being here, without him being here to serve. Nanda Maharaj thinks that I will write a letter to Krishna. And I will tell Krishna in this letter that it is known that you go wherever your devotees are. You cannot resist the devotion of your devotees. And actually the devotees missing of Krishna, their varaha bhava, it opens up a channel, a pathway to the unmanifest, the uppercut pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, and they experience Krishna directly at those times. So Nanda Maharaj says, I will tell Krishna that you say, we know, everyone knows that you cannot resist your devotees. You live wherever your devotees are, and I will declare it, that no one loves you more than we love you. So therefore you must come with us. You must be with us in Vrindavan. And when Krishna reads this letter, he will say to all the Yadus that it is true. No one loves me more than Nanda. And I am going back to Vrindavan. But he never sent the letter. But in any case, the chanting of Krishna's names can be done on so many levels. And the highest level is this Vrindavan level. where Krishna actually fully manifests. This is Sudanam, pure, chanting the pure name with love, in relationship, in love, as Maharaj was speaking about this morning, in relationship, but with love. This calls Krishna to fully manifest himself in the holy name. Abhinatvam namanamano, Krishna is his name. Purna shuddho nitya mukta abhinatvam namanamano. But he manifests fully when the name is chanted with great love. His name is chanted with great love. But perhaps we cannot chant on that level yet. But that is our goal, prema pamarto mahan, and also the goal and the means to gain the goal, this chanting, it's the same. This is the wonder of bhakti. It's not that we give up chanting at any time. Evam vrattasa priyanam akirtya. But below that level is the chanting, this bhava bhakti and a shakti. A shakti means when you have great attachment for Krishna. But your love for Krishna, or you have not been gifted yet the full shelter of Krishna's internal energy. You know who you are even in relationship with Krishna, but you don't have the full shelter of the internal energy. It is a kind of spiritual torture. You are so close, but you still require the mercy of Krishna. That is why bhava bhakti is so durlabha. It is so rare. Our acharyas have described, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj has described it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there are two reasons why Krishna just doesn't give this to everyone. This bhava bhakti is because one must perform sadhana on the platform of attachment. We have to become attached to Krishna. And then that attachment to Krishna, it causes, by Krishna's mercy, him to not be able to resist for very long before he awards us with bhava. So that's one reason. If we perform our sadhana without attachment, it will not bring bhava bhakti. So we have to come to that platform first. And also, bhava bhakti is sadolabha because Krishna doesn't award it very easily. He waits. He wants it to burn, our attachment to burn and burn and flame still brighter. Because by bhava bhakti, Krishna himself is controlled. And it minimizes the value of liberation. In any case, so chanting with a shakti or attachment is another level of chanting. And then below that level of chanting is chanting with ruchi, or taste. And by chanting with taste, naturally, whatever we have a taste for, whatever gives us pleasure, we become attached to. So from ruchi is born a shakti, attachment. And before we can chant on the level of ruchi with continuous taste, there is the level of nishta, which means I am fixed. I am Krishna's. Let him do as he likes with me, but I am his. And the consciousness of a person on that level does not waver. Now my consciousness flickers from this side to that side, and something, some event on the material level that attacks me may knock me from my taking shelter of Krishna. Something pleasurable, something miserable, I could be knocked over. But on the platform of nishta, there is fixedness, firm fixedness. Krishna is mind. He is my shelter. Gotripte varanam tata. Completely surrendered to Krishna. And then below that level is when we are chanting, but we have so many anartas, unwanted things in our heart. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that even if we want to continuously chant, if we still are affected by the modes of passion and the mode of ignorance, we will not be able to do it, because these modes will push us here and they will push us there and push us in this direction, in that direction. They will pull our minds. So this is the process of cleansing that has to take place before we can attain the platform of nishtha. The anartas must be removed. The weakness of heart must be removed. The riddhya durlabham. Anartas, aparads must be removed. And tattva vibhrama. We must know the process of Krishna consciousness and our relationship. Who is Krishna? That he is fully worthy. He is the object. He is our ashraya. He is our shelter. And we are tiny infinitesimal souls. And we need a shelter. And that is why fearfulness is the base condition of every conditioned soul, because we don't have our shelter until we surrender to Krishna. So anartanavritti can take some time. And then below that platform is the platform of, what's below, before anartanavritti? Shraddha. That means that we can just chant. I'm speaking about these levels in relationship to chanting Krishna's names. So we chant. We chant, we have a little faith in chanting Krishna's names. We chant because we are cold in Buffalo, New York. We chant for this reason, we chant for that reason, we chant because we like it, because it helps us. A little faith is there. Now, if we want to increase our chanting, and we want to increase, but yet we have to start. So when we're chanting, and the basic process that Mahaprabhu taught, as Srila Prabhupada gave us, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave us, is we chant Krishna's names and we try to remove all our offenses. This is our prime endeavor, to chant offenselessly. And in that regard, we have tried to make our retreat, let's sit for a second please, a complaint-free zone, like they have smoke-free zones. Well, complaint and criticism-free zones. Why? Because when our consciousness is full of these negative type of things, then our true desire, our sankalpa, cannot generate its energy, because our sankalpa, our desire, what we want, our determination, what we're praying that we will gain through this retreat, the energy will be restricted by complaints and criticisms. So we want our true deepest desire to permeate our consciousness. Because yayitam mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. That as we desire, Krishna will reciprocate with us. He will fulfill that desire. And our business, our part of it, is to desire purely and not let other things get in the way, to weaken our desire. Yes, we desire to chant with prema, but we also have so many other desires in there. So, complaint-free, criticism-free, and keep us sankalpa in our consciousness, what we actually want. And as an adjunct, to add to our ability to to chant without offense. I would like to use this most of this session for a very simple to understand practice, and that is what we call trying to focus or trying to hear one mantra. This is one of the keys that we use in our chanting that we've written about in this japa book. The first key is to chant, no matter what, chant. And the second key, and the third, fourth, and fifth key, well, that's the first one, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We should be happy, have a jolly consciousness too. So then we have four additional keys. The first one is hear one mantra. The second one, we have to make a sankalpa in this regard, make a determination that all I have to do when I'm chanting is hear, is listen. There's such a tendency for the mind to become active while we chant our japa. We get so many great ideas. But I've gone through sessions where I've written down all my great ideas as I was chanting, and then an hour later or so, I look at all my great ideas, and they're really not so great after all. But when the mind holds on to something, they are not essential. But when the mind holds on to something, its specific functioning makes that thing that it happens to be holding on to at that moment appear as the only important thing in existence. So to combat that, we make a sankalpa that what I have to do right now when I'm chanting my japa is to just hear the mantra. Now this is a very simple level of chanting. It is not chanting on the level of prema. It is not chanting on the level of a shakti, ruchi, or even nishta. But it is trying to rid our chanting of the offense of pramada. And it will give birth to humility. And that will bring us very easily to the next stage of chanting with more sincerity, as we'll ask Maharaj to speak about in a few moments. But for now, we want to practice on this level. The third principle there is yato yato nischalati, that the mind will wander. Why does the mind wander? Because there are three modes of material nature, not one mode of material nature. There's goodness, passion, and does anyone remember the third mode? Yes, it is ignorance or tamagun. What does the mode of ignorance do to our consciousness all day long and when we're chanting as well? It fills us with lamentation about the past. It brings us into the past. And this person said this to me 25 years ago, and I should have said this to him at that time, and next time I see him, I'll tell him this or that. Just lamentation, and why didn't I do that? And the mode of passion brings us into the future, and planning, and planning, and planning, and planning, and scheming what I'm going to do. And the mode of goodness keeps us in touch with the present, which is what no one is in touch with nowadays. Have you noticed that? People walk around, especially you go to the cities or anywhere, practically speaking, you see people walking around and they're just living in their minds, thinking about what they're going to do in the future, lamenting about the past, going back, passion, ignorance, and then by the grace of having a mobile phone, you can always be where you aren't. You're walking down the street and you don't have to be where you are. You can be anywhere else, practically speaking. And you could be downloading your emails as you're walking along. And in Vrindavan, what you see so many times is people riding their motorcycles or bicycles like this because they're listening, they're talking to someone on the phone while they're riding their bicycles. It's so interesting, we would say. But that's just the mode of passion. And everyone is, that's what modern civilization is doing. Modern, Prabhupada would always say, so-called civilization is doing. It is increasing passion and ignorance and passion and ignorance. And no one can pay attention to what they're doing right now. And when we happen to be able to do this, keep our consciousness on what we're doing right now, removing the passion and removing the ignorance, immediately goodness comes and happiness comes. So what we want to do while we say, hear one mantra, or hear even one name of Krishna, is just simply keep the consciousness and move it towards the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, when the consciousness, mind is a little more satisfied, then, as the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes, this is the process of attaining transcendence. Because our minds tend to be so much in passion, so much in ignorance, vikshepta, alas, sleepiness, or running here and there, and running and running and running. And once the mind starts running and running and running and running and thinking of so many things, it's so hard to make it peaceful again, to just do something so simple as hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that I'm now speaking. The mode of passion makes it difficult, so we must try to avoid the mode of passion. So we chant early in the morning, but we should chant, and when, as soon as we get up, we should be preparing our mind for the chanting that's going to happen by not thinking of 50,000 other things, but starting to chant and starting to offer prayers and starting to remember that we are tiny, insignificant souls and that we need to chant Krishna's names to associate with Krishna, to become purified. We need the shelter of Krishna's names. And as soon as we awaken ourselves in the morning, we should try to prepare our mind to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And not start working the mind up of with all the things that we have to do and have to do. We should try it, keep it peaceful. There'll be the rest of the day for doing so many things. But the sankalpa, the determination is, while I'm chanting now, I will keep my consciousness in the mode of goodness and try to hear Krishna's holy name. I will try to touch Krishna's holy name, the sound vibration that I'm making with my tongue. I will try and touch that sound vibration with my consciousness through my ear, through hearing. It takes determination. One has to make this determination, and if one doesn't, not that one doesn't have a choice, but if one doesn't make this determination, the mind will take us all over the universe. It will take us on a tour all over the universe. And it will come to us very, very simply and seemingly innocently. Why don't you just think about this? Why don't you just open up your computer and just take a... It's so important that you download your emails right now, or write this important note right now, or do this or do that. Or then when you don't want to do those things, you'll start scratching here and scratching there and doing this and that and looking for something to do, because the mind is running as fast as it can from Krishna. And that's what Maharaj meant when he said, I think it was last night, that when you sit down to chant your japa, you will see what your relationship with Krishna is at the moment. What's the quality of it? And very often what we see is the last thing that my mind wants to do now is be in relationship with Krishna. And that's the first issue. The first turning is to be in relationship with Krishna and make that sankalpa, that determination, that for this short time, I'll have the rest of the day to do whatever I want, but for this short time, the only thing that I really have to do is chant Krishna's names and hear that sound vibration. Let my consciousness touch the sound vibration of Krishna's names through the process of hearing. It is simple to understand, but when the mind has a habit of the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, it is not so simple to do. But if we become determined to do it, and we try our best to do it, this is the proper exercise of our free will. Now we will be speaking, and Maharaj will introduce the topic about the sincere chanting, and which is a deeper level. But it's hard to will oneself to be sincere. So what can I do? What can I do with my own free will to take a step to Krishna? And this is something we can do. We know what the issue is. I want to simply hear Krishna's name as I chant. And this was the most simple, basic instruction that Prabhupada gave us about chanting. What should we do when chanting? He said, one devotee said to Prabhupada, I think it's on a morning walk or on a room conversation, Srila Prabhupada, it is very difficult to control my mind. When I chant, my mind wanders. I think some of us may have some experience of that. So Prabhupada said, so what is the controlling of mind? You have to chant and hear. That's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear. That's all. What is the question of mind? Another time. Chanting japa should be done early in the morning with full concentration, a letter in 1972. Preferably during the Brahma Muhurta time. Concentrate fully on the sound vibration of the mantra, pronouncing each name distinctly, and gradually your speed in chanting will increase naturally. Do not worry so much about chanting fast. Most important is the hearing. So keep it simple for the mind. Keep it simple at first for the mind. Just hear. Know what the issue is. And just hear. One more letter, 1968. Your sincerity and desire for doing some service for Krishna is very much encouraging to me, Prabhupada said. Please go on chanting nicely and steadily. Chanting 16 rounds is prescribed, but you can chant more rounds and hear them very attentively. And the third principle, yato yato nishchalati, from the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. If the mind wanders, just bring it back. And the fourth principle there is be detached. Because if my mind has wandered, if it has wandered, and I'm not doing very well, don't worry, your freedom, our freedom is just on the mantra I'm chanting now, on the name I'm chanting now. So if we can hear, just hear the name of Krishna, so much nourishment will come to the heart because abhinatvam namanamano. And based on that, humility will come. And based on that, deeper sincerity will come to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. So what I would like to do now is do some practicing of this very simple process. So please take out your beads. And this is because we should chant on the highest level that we're capable of. If we're capable of chanting with on the level of prema bhakti, then chant on the level of prema bhakti. If we're getting taste, chant on that level. If we can chant taking shelter of Krishna's name, I have no other shelter other than you, Krishna, let me serve you, then chant on that level. But if we can do nothing else at any time, just keep it very simple and try to hear the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So take out your beads. What I would like to do, sometimes when we do this practice, we have the devotees all chanting at the same speed, but we won't do that now. So you can chant at any speed you want. You can chant loudly, you can chant softly as you like, but not too loudly to disturb the devotee sitting next to you. You can better to sit for now. You can keep your eyes open. You can keep your eyes closed if you want. But just keep the focus on hearing the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. You mean, should we or can we? You can. Everyone can, if they like. But if sometimes the devotees close their eyes in this thing, so then. Keep it simple and remind yourself about this determination. This is the essence of it. Know what you have to do, and what you have to do is hear one mantra and be determined about that. Okay? What I'll do is I'll set my little timer here for just 3 minutes, not a long time. So during this 3 minutes, all you have to do is hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Be determined, and if your mind wanders, bring it back to the simple process of hearing. And be detached, because one's freedom is only on the mantra that one is chanting right now. Okay, I'll say 1, 2, 3, and then we'll all begin. Be determined and try to hear Krishna's holy name. One mantra. If you can hear one mantra, Eka Krishna Nama Sarva Papachai. We are so fortunate if we can just hear one mantra. Oh, one holy name of Krishna. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Chant at your own speed, at your own loudness, as you like. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, a short exercise. That was just 3 minutes. Raise your hand and tell me, anyone like to say how they did with that? Anyone would like to say? Yes, Kenzo.
It reminded me of the rubber band thing. It makes you more conscious of when you're going off, to have the constant reminder of one name, one mantra only. Because I could, you know, pictures were forming in my mind just out of nowhere, but having the reminder.
And then what did you do when you were reminded?
Just bring it back.
Were you able to hear one mantra?
A few times.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else like to say how they did? Maharaj?
Jai Sachinandana.
Joy Gaura Hari. Actually, I want to give you a feedback. I thought it was very, very nice that you spoke about being in the presence and not coming under the force of ignorance and passion, which either drives us to the future or into the past. And I found with this simple, you told us one mantra at a time, or only one mantra, that was your formula.
Keep it simple. That's what I like to do in this
Yes. This being in the present and just being with the mantra, that is an extremely spiritual exercise. It cut me off the past and of the future, and I didn't even feel my back pain any longer. I think it is very good. This, what I want to say is this being present in the presence. I believe that mantra brought me into that space.
Thank you. Anyone else like to say how they did? There's one. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Sangha.
Hare Krishna. I've been practicing the present thing because I've read your book before, and it's like catching the holy name in that eternal moment that just keeps moving as you focus in the present. But today I really was enlivened by the detachment part. Because then when my mind wandered, I didn't get so bothered by it, and I came back quicker.
Yeah. But yes, we can get attached to our failures, and that we moved into the mode of ignorance and lamenting, and that pulls us away. That's just a trick of the mind. That's all. Our freedom is in the present. I remember one time I was showing some devotees, talking to devotees about this in New Zealand, and there was one young lady who was a real wild one. And when she did this, she said, "This is so simple." She actually caught it. She caught the mantra. And she said, "It's so simple." So that's actually what happens when the mind slows down and we hear, it's just so simple. All we have to do is chant and hear. But when the mind is raging in the future and dealing with the past, the simple becomes so complicated. It's such hard work just simply to do the simplest thing. Of be where you are instead of where you're not. And that's what people nowadays, cranked up by the mode of passion and ignorance, are doing, is just making their lives more and more complicated. So we want to stop it. And sadhana means practice. So this is our time, the time when we're chanting japa, is our time to be with Krishna in the holy names, in this form of a sound vibration that is so kind, because Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi, he's given us a way to associate with him at any time, at any place. There are no hard and fast rules. So let us take it. Let's practice again. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. And don't worry about how you did on the last mantra or what you will do in the future and how many more rounds, etc. Keep it simple. Just try to hear one mantra or one name. And if you hear, if by the grace of your of Giriraj and the holy names and your cooperating mind, you hear one mantra, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. And keep, and if your mind doesn't do it, then you toe your toe nistality. Keep trying. Okay. Please chant. Keep determined. I hope it doesn't disturb you too much, but I'll remind you throughout. And we'll chant for 5 minutes this time. That's all. And then we'll ask the devotees. And don't start thinking about what you're going to say, and if you're going to say it, don't. Just keep it simple. Just try to associate with Krishna by touching the sound vibration with your consciousness. Okay, begin. Keep it simple. Be determined. if you make your determination, this is all I have to do for this time period. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay. Let's stop for a moment. How did you do? Anyone like to say? Let's raise your hand. Mataji, the microphone is coming soon.
Hare Krishna. This was, second time was much better.
What do you mean by much better?
First time was just, it was going here and there. Only when you reminded Prabhu, I used to catch up. The second time was better than that. Little more.
And did you hear one mantra at that time?
Yeah.
Thank you. Mataji, did you want to? How wonderful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. The second time was more difficult. The first time was the first time, and so I was prepared to have my mind wander. But since the first time went so well, I was a little bit complacent. And I found that...
What does complacent mean?
Meaning that, oh, I can do this. You know, no problem. And so the second time I found my mind wandering more. I also found, I've often told people that if you want to know what your issues are, try to chant with attention. And so by doing this exercise under your guidance, I really got a clue, because every time you reminded us, I'm thinking, why is he keep reminding? I'm trying to hear. that's me. That's my issue. It's like I'm ready to blame anybody for anything except myself. And I also realized that when you really try to hear and you become conscious of what your mind is trying to do, everything slows right down. And you really, even though your mind is wandering, you're still in the present, because you see, ah, there it goes again. Ah, there it goes again. But I would say on the whole that it went very well, because you told us to be determined, and so I was determined.
Thank you. What were you determined to do?
I was determined to hear one mantra or one word at a time. And because I knew how difficult it is, that determination kept me pretty steady. I would say it was about 94%.
Wow. That's wonderful.
But that didn't mean my mind wasn't wandering. It's just that I was aware of it, which is also, I think, very valuable.
And when you become aware, yato nischalati, because... there's such a, stimulating intellectual on the buddhi level, like Maharaj was talking about, thrill in playing with your mind on that level. It's so exciting to watch the tricks of the mind and play on that level. So what we want to do is have a more wonderful goal, simple and wonderful, is to just be relating with Krishna in that sound form. It's important to keep that simple determination that during this short time, I just want to touch Krishna in the sound, in the form of a sound vibration. This is Mahaprabhu's gift, that take this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Bhaktivinod Thakur sings, I prayed for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and received it. I begged for it. So let us take it. Our primary emphasis is on the mantra, because the mantra is the Maha Mantra, and the whole is more powerful than the sum of its parts even. The mantra has itself a certain potency, so if we can hear it all, but the name of Krishna is also unlimitedly powerful. So if we can just touch it with our consciousness, and then perhaps Krishna will see, oh, he's so sincere, or she's so sincere. Hear a little lila to note, or some realization, but just try to chant and hear.
I forgot to mention, I also felt something, not an emotion, but I became very conscious of my heart, like you become conscious of your stomach when it's full. I was aware that it was there, and it was an interesting feeling, like something was there, but I wasn't experiencing anything elevated or anything like that.
But, yeah. We have hearts. Let our hearts, by Krishna's grace, become full of the holy names of Krishna. And because the what is the Maha Mantra? Hare Krishna. It's the dealings of Radha and Krishna. No, don't avoid. Yeah. Well, just following the mind's lead, it will come to you in a thousand forms, to entice perhaps. But once we become attracted to the Maha Mantra, then all those forms of the material energy become non-attractive to us, because this is the higher taste that our relationship with Krishna is the higher taste that we so much long for. It's the water on the desert. It's such a relief when the mind slows down and we actually relate to Krishna through the sound vibration of his holy name, that you could feel the soul just going, ah. Because the mind is just stopping, it's whipping us continuously. Okay, let's try again. This time, a little bit longer. But not that much longer. Just 7 minutes. Everyone ready? Ready and determined? Determined to what? Just hear one mantra, one name of Krishna. And with determination, that means it springs from your own will. So at any time, if you so desire, you can will to hear. But my suggestion is, don't let your mind become too wound up, because then it's too hard to pull it back, so that we can do something so simple as be present with what we're doing, which is associating with Krishna through his holy name. Okay, be determined. Know what the task is. Be determined. Be detached. And wherever the mind wanders, just bring it back to hearing Krishna's holy name. 1, 2, 3. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And you can call on Chaitanya and Nittai to help. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
The mind has three functions, thinking, feeling, and willing. Burijan Prabhu has started with the willing part of the mind. He told us we should be determined to bring our mind to this one mantra at a time, or not even at a time, one mantra. This is something where you use your willpower, especially at the time when the mind starts to wander. Then you take that power which you have, that willpower, you go after the mind and you bring it back, almost like, let us say, I feel now I should get up and I will now use the willpower. And this power moves me now. And I'm standing. So the willpower is a very great power, but deeper still, feelings. And Burijan Prabhu has requested me to bring you to this level. He has requested me to talk about sincerity. Now, I would like to again turn to Braj Bihari if he is there. Would you mind to again search after that quotation of Queen Kunti? Do you know enough to send your Google machine running after this?
I have it here.
You have it there. It seems to be available in the book. The question is, how can we chant sincerely? I think this question came up in the morning when we all heard this quotation from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where one should sincerely and seriously say to Krishna, although I have forgotten you since so many long years in this material world, from now on, today I surrender unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. There is a very, very nice and I would say, seed-giving quotation of Srila Prabhupada, where he tells us what sincerity means. This morning we heard the Latin explanation, sinicera, without pretense, without vox. So what this now means in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, we will hear from a very nice quotation. It's in the from the first canto, chapter 8, text 26. But I want to greet our newcomers. Welcome, welcome. Vadayaho, vadayaho. Sit with us. Please sit. It is better if you sit. It is more comfortable. If you like the men are sitting here, you please come and sit there. Prabhupada talks about the vox, that which covers us, the illusory stuff. He says, all material men are mad after possessing material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly. O Govinda!
Govinda.
Yes, you're waking up. It's nice, but please now feelingly. O Govinda!
O Govinda!
O Krishna!
O Krishna!
It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. You know, one time the Shastra said, saying just one of these names, Govinda, Krishna, Hari, Rama, annihilates and evaporates more sinful reactions to more sin than you are capable of actually committing. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. You know, there's often in Vedic scriptures a statement is made which sounds so great. I mean, one holy name can annihilate more sinful reactions to more sins than I'm unable to commit. So let me, our interest is now caught. Now we want to know how to do it. And how to do it, Prabhupada will now explain. But there is a quality to such utterances also. Acha, we understand? A certain quality I have to bring to this chanting. What is this quality? Listen as the purport goes on. It depends on the quality of feeling. Acha, I have to bring some feeling to the process. But what feeling exactly? Now he will tell us. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord. Whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. So now Prabhupada tells us very clearly what inflates us, what puffs us up, what makes us unable to bring this quality to the table, this helpless feeling. Four things. The attachment to high parentage, good wealth, high education and attractive beauty are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by more maltreatment. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. My dear devotees, helpless feelings. In our Heidelberg temple, I might have told it already in one of the lectures, there was one devotee from the previous Yugoslavia. His name was Matsya. Matsya would always sit in the brahmachari room and cry almost about anything and everything. So one day, I was the preacher in the temple, and the temple commander sent me and told me, find out why Matsya is always crying about anything and everything. So I went up to Matsya and said, why are you crying about anything and everything? And Matsya said, oh, Shochinandan, I feel just very unqualified. And I said, Matsya, I think you are suffering from Yugoslavian sentimentality. I told him very blunt, because it is known in North Europe that the South Europeans are more emotionally fragrant, to give a praising word, but have more warm feelings. I must say, at that time I committed an offense against Matsya, which I regret at this stage in my life. I told him, you cry like one needs to only touch you in the arm and you start crying like a mimosic flower. Your emotions are unhealthy, you need to go to a psychologist. So I said like this. And then I felt sorry afterwards, because Matsya started to cry again, and I gave him a plate of prasadam to make good. A little later, Matsya told me a very important lesson. He had saved Lakshmi, and he went to Vrindavan, and during Radhastami he went to Radhakund. All of a sudden he felt his time had come. He laid down on the banks of the Radhakund and he cried and he called Radhe, Radhe, and left his body. Oof! The news reached Germany. Matsya cried and left his body. He cried Radhe, Radhe on the banks of Radhakund. And immediately things came into perspective. Yes, Matsya was not from a high parentage. Matsya didn't have much wealth. Matsya had a big head. He didn't look very beautiful. Matsya was not having all these material opulences. But that brought him to the state where he could sincerely call out to Krishna for help. So, materially speaking, his disqualification became, spiritually speaking, his greatest qualification. Do you understand what I try to say? Materially, what is seen as a disqualification in the material field can help us spiritually if and only if we come to this position of looking for help where help can be found, looking for help at Krishna's lotus feet. So I'm here in my proud body. I have a little parentage. I have a little wealth. I have a little education. And I have the fading beauty of an old man. But these are disqualifications. These are disqualifications for what is my real project in life. The real project in life is to obtain the mercy. The mercy of Giriraj, and the mercy of Radha and Krishna. So to become aware that these material things, which we can call shminka, shminka means makeup, which goes over the soul, is not required for our spiritual advancement. That will bring us to a place where we can chant the holy name with sincere feelings, you know, the feelings which are expressed by our Goswamis, the feelings which are expressed, for instance, in the guideline of prayer, where Rupa Goswami expresses like this. He glorifies Srimati Radharani, and then he says, O Queen of Vrindavan, I bow down and roll about on the Yamuna shore, rolling, rolling, rolling. And with an agitated heart and in a choked voice, I appeal to you. So you may say, what is his heart? Heart pressure? What is the pressure on his heart? That he goes down to the Yamuna's shore, that he bows down there, then he stretches out and rolls around like a fish on dry ground with so much agony in the sand of Yamuna's shore, so that the sand comes all over him. Well, here he expresses his helpless feelings. Even though I have committed offenses, and even though I'm unqualified, and even though my intelligence is crooked, please give this person a small particle of your devotional service. Or here, I'm drowning in a painful, fathomless whirlpool. You know what is a whirlpool? Have some of you read Edgar Allan Poe before you came to Krishna consciousness? He wrote this masterpiece, The Maelstrom. It's about a whirlpool which is in near Norway, and it's a geographical whirlpool. It goes down 100 meters, and anyone who gets caught in this whirlpool, any ship which gets caught up in this whirlpool, the ship is pulled down for 100 meters, and then the whirlpool closes upon him and he is gone. So this is a picture. I'm drowning in a painful, fathomless means without any limit, without any bottom, whirlpool of repeated birth and death. O Lord, O friend of the shelterless, O effulgent moon of mercy, this one time quickly extend your hand to save me. So the Rupa Goswami requests the Lord to come to his help. He's drowning in the whirlpool. It pulls him down more and more and more. He feels helpless because he knows he can't get out. So he prays, bring your hand to me, catch me in the last minute and pull me up. These are feelings of helplessness, which you can read on page 140 and 141 in Bhurijan's book, Japa. Hare Krishna. So I would like to now do this exercise with you. Prabhupada was once asked how one can chant with full attention. This is another secret you need to know. Offenses all come from one root offense. It's inattention or pramada. So if you want to cut the tree of offenses, you must cut it at the root of pramada or inattention. And Prabhupada gave this answer, and our culprit, I believe is your good name, will find it for us. He said, he said, when the devotee asked him, yeah, that's all right, thank you. When the devotee asked him, Prabhupada, how can I chant with full attention? Prabhupada gave this type of, now this answer, this sutra, which our devotee has not written down correctly. Prabhupada did it, I don't know if you know, Nike has this motto, just do it. No? They have it from Prabhupada. Do you know? Prabhupada was the first one to use it. And he would often say to us, just do something. Just means enough of anything else. You know, now get to the task. No more thinking, no more nothing. He said to the question how to chant with full attention, just means no thought any longer, no discussion any longer. Just hear yourself chant sincerely. So our culprit will take now a pen and write the missing just over it, because it's an important verse. Please write in the same good writing, culprit. You can do. Oh my God, are you good? Just means no more discussions. Do this, and you will have an experience. So for applying this formula, just hear yourself chant sincerely. You have to really stop first and chant sincerely. Therefore, it's red, you know, like a semaphore. Do we say semaphore or traffic light, we say in English language? There's a red color. Stop. Now, first, you must chant sincerely. What means chant sincerely? Who has listened? Chant what feelings? Yes, chant with a feeling of helplessness. Thank you, Sri Radhika. Chant with a feeling of helplessness. A helpless person looks for help. A shelterless person looks for shelter. You need to feel helpless in order to take ashraya. If you don't feel helpless, you will not look for shelter. If you don't feel there's rain on your head, you will not go under a rain shelter, right? Will you run for a rain shelter when you don't feel rain is in your life? When you feel everything is all right, you will not really look for shelter. You need to see, where am I helpless? And who doesn't feel helpless at this moment? You are all tired. please think a little. Is everything all right? Do you have to die? Yes. Will you get sick? Yes. Will you get disappointed and sad in your life? Yes, most probably. Have thousands of attempts to do sadhana failed to give you love of God? Yes. But you can see, as I'm addressing you, a half-asleep audience, I can feel you are not feeling helplessness. It's very clear. And that's the problem. Because then we cannot enter this, the gate of the holy name. And do you know what is my experience in my life? If you have a little desire to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will most probably bring, I mean, he has brought me a few times to the state of helplessness. All material abilities have gone. I forgot all my verses. I used to know so many verses. Then I went to the surgery table. Everything was gone. I used to jump around. I was one of the wild dancers of ISKCON, known for his wildness. No more possible. I have thought I'm a good sadhaka, but I have seen lately that I have material desires, and it was very surprising and very shocking for me to see this, that they come in the heart, very inappropriate, very shameful. I will not tell you, I'm too afraid of you. And I have seen Krishna in his mercy, when he sees there is a desire for the right thing, he will bring you to this state. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he said during the Panchatattva installation a sentence, and when I said the sentence, devotees told me, better you don't pray like this, Sachinandan Swami. He said, my dear Lord, to take everything away from me which keeps me from being a better servant. And then he said a second sutra, my dear Lord, give everything to me which I need to become a better servant of you. So this is a very powerful prayer. We know Krishna took his foot away and then his life. He is now in the spiritual world. It's a very powerful prayer. It is a power with sincere consequences when it is coming from the heart. See, we have to learn that this material world is an illusion. It's a prison. It's not the place where we belong. You don't want any big things in the prison. You just want to get qualified to start your real life again when you are healthy thinking. So this chanting sincerely is a feeling of helplessness. Let's now forget what I have said. It's too terrible. Let's go to the simple thing. Simple thing means be honest with yourself, and you will already find out you will need help to make it. And then, after chanting sincerely, hear yourself doing this. This is the instruction from Prabhupada. And should we make an exercise, Purujan Prabhu, or did you have something else in mind? I'm finished with my... okay. So I will turn over the microphone to Purujan Prabhu, who will read a few quotations on addressing the Lord with sincere feelings of looking for his help.
And also, what... a little more on what sincerity means in our approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your
powerful words.
Maharaj, how could you even ask that question?
Devotional perfection. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. Please listen very carefully, because the whole process is contained in this verse and purport. Devotional perfection is very difficult to attain for two reasons. This is bhava bhakti. First, unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot attain devotional perfection, even if he renders devotional service for a long time. Second, Krishna does not easily deliver perfection in devotional service. Two reasons. Now here is from Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Muktim Dadati Kahichit, Srila Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Prickett that Krishna readily grants liberation. All those who would like liberation from all miseries, raise your hand. Okay. All those who would like to go to heavenly planets, raise your hand. All what? Yeah, it's true. You know, we have all these. But Krishna can give so much more. How would you like a Mercedes-Benz? Not bad. Okay, you want a Mercedes-Benz? How big you would like your bank account to be? Okay, Krishna can give all these things. Whatever you want, the kama, sava, kama, va, moksha, kama, udara, di, he will give them. Even liberation. But he does not readily grant perfection in devotional service. Why? This means that a devotee, Krishna wants to see that a devotee is actually sincere and serious, and that he does not have ulterior motives. That is what sincere means. I'm coming to you, Krishna, to serve you, and I don't have any other desire. If this is the case, what is the case? Sincere, no ulterior motives. I don't want anything else from Krishna. I want to give him. I want to just serve him. And nothing hidden behind my back like this. How are you, Krishna? That's why the Indian system, where you go like this, is a much better greeting than the Western system. When you go like this, because you don't know what he's got behind his back and going to fix you with later. Nothing hidden, no ulterior motives. And if this is the case, if someone is actually sincere, one who is actually sincere, devotional service can easily be successful. The results will come when there is full actual sincerity. Otherwise, it is very difficult, devotional service, perfection in devotional service, bhava bhakti, love for Krishna. Otherwise, it is very difficult to obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In one sense, it is so simple. All we have to do is be sincere and approach Krishna to serve him for his pleasure. Why? Because this is who we are. All we have to do is be who we are. Krishna's servant. Insignificant servant. But the false ego doesn't want to do that. So all we have to do is simply and honestly be sincere. Now one other quotations. I mentioned this a lot. Here's the direct quotation, which means giving ourselves to Krishna. Gotripte varanam tata. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours, and I am here for your pleasure. How can I serve you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How can I serve you? How can I be of pleasure to you? Surrender. This is what Prabhupada said, very short. If by reading all these literatures and explanations given by God himself, after reading the Bhagavatam, after reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita and so many other books, after reading all these literatures and explanations given by God himself, if we come to our senses, if we actually accept it, reality, if we come to our senses that he is so great and so merciful, he is all powerful and all merciful, Then, if we actually trust this simple point, He is so great and so merciful, then it becomes possible to surrender unto Him. Then we can place ourselves fully in His care, all fearfulness gone. Our Master is recognized, accepted, and served with devotion. Then, if we have these two realizations, then it becomes possible to surrender unto Him. And how long will that take? And Prabhupada then says, for a fortunate person, it can take 1 second. A lecture that I have. Bhagavatam 7:9:22. Huh? Unfortunate as I am, durdaiva midrisam ihan anujanu raga. Unfortunate as I am. So therefore, the step towards this was just what Maharaj said. It's humility. When I understand that I'm not fortunate, then I become humble. And when I become humble, I'm so unfortunate, then I need mercy. So that humility is the step. First comes a realization of our actual situation. I'm so unfortunate. Krishna is giving so much. Prabhupada is giving so much. And I have no attraction for it. I don't, I have so many desires. I have so many attractions. And I'm so fearful. And I have so many doubts. I'm so unfortunate. And I don't take the holy name. Then humility. And then, oh, I need so much help. My claim is first. Patita pavana hetu tava avata mosama patita pave nabhave aram. This is the process. This is the process of taking shelter of Krishna's holy names. And hear, just hear yourself chant sincerely. Then what happens when you start chanting? When I start chanting in my usual insincere way, instead of hearing myself chanting sincerely, I hear myself chanting insincerely. And then, humility. Oh, no. And then, I need help. And then immediately we can chant sincerely. Try to be always attentive and do that simple thing of chanting the holy name and listening to one mantra or one name. The result isn't perfection and ecstasy. From my experience, it's humility. And then the guidelines are simple. Then I need help. I've been chanting 40 years plus. And I need help. Who will help me? When I hear and understand that Krishna is all so great and so merciful, that will give life to my chanting when it is done with surrender. And then, since Maharaj read two quotations, and then we'll end, I'll read one more in this mood, written by Sripad, His Holiness Prabodhananda Saraswati from Vrindavan Mahamrita. This is how, because these principles, this is so glorious in bhakti, these principles that we're talking about are true from the very beginning stages to the final stages. So we should learn these principles and then we should apply them. But they're true from the beginning to the end. So this is an end person statement in the same mood. O Radhika, if you do not become pleased with me, then my heart will break and I will give up my life. Therefore, please make me happy by always glancing mercifully towards this servant of yours. So as Prabhupada said in that purport that Maharaj
read in Kunti Devi's prayers, it is a question of feelings, a kinchana with a question of feelings. Let our chanting be attentive, let it be humble, and let it be invested with the feelings of needing mercy, and then let that be steadily fixed as who we are, a person who always needs mercy, not only when he breaks his ankle and can't walk anymore or whatever, but always from moment to moment needing mercy. Let that blossom into ruchi, and let that ruchi taste Kodava chanting, and let that give birth to attachment, and then by Krishna's mercy, then let us get, by his mercy, give us the shelter of his internal energy, which is his pleasure-giving potency, and then our chanting will be bhava and prema. Very simple to understand, and difficult to be that sincere. So let us work on our sincerity, humility, and attentiveness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Because I was in a lower position. So the mercy was flowing. Hare Krishna. We should say Jai Jai Sri Rad Bolo Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai, and then we should all with great feeling call out to Giriraj for shelter, and then we should offer our obeisances. Yeah, but we still have enough time to say Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. I think we could probably squeeze it into the schedule. Should we do this as a joint effort?
Yes,
so, but the sound is
Krishna,
Abhyaga.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
But I have an idea. Before we say Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam, why don't we say Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai?
That's your strength. And then
okay.
I will think, yes.
Okay. Okay. Let everyone act according to their strength. But I also like to say Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. Can we say that together?
Certainly. Yeah.
Okay. And you can also say Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Okay?
Bolo.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai 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 Sri Radhe.